John chapter 4. John, the fourth book of the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. John chapter 4, and we're going to go to verse number 19. John chapter 4, verse 19. And if you have your place, let me hear you say amen. Amen. Let's stand while God's word is being read here this morning. I'm going to read verses 19 through 24. And this is Jesus in the middle of a conversation with the Samaritan woman. And verse 19 starts and says this, "Sir," the woman said, "I can see that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem." Jesus declared, "Believe me, woman, a time is coming when you will worship the Father, neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming and has come now, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in spirit and in truth." Let's go to God in prayer. Father, once again, I just ask that the words that I'm about to say will be pleasing to you. And I pray that the words from your scripture penetrate all of our hearts, Lord. Penetrate all the way down and change each and every one of us, however we need to be changed. Because that's what your word does best, Lord. It transforms people from the inside out. And that's what we want here this morning. So use me as your instrument here, as your servant, to exposit these words to your people here this morning. I give you all the glory, and I ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. We are in our sixth and final week in our sermon series on the glory of God. So what have we been taught so far? Here's a little review. We have been taught that God desires to be glorified and praised. We read that in Isaiah chapter 43, verse 21. We have been taught that God is worthy of glory and praise. We saw that from 1 Chronicles 16:25. We also have been taught that God will not share his glory and praise with anyone or anything. And we read that from Isaiah 42, verse 8. We have also been taught that there are times when we put God in a box, when we restrict him to our ways, to our thoughts, and to our control. And we put him in a box because we want him, but we just want him only the way that we want him. So we keep him in a box. And in doing so, we fail to see his glory, and we risk stealing his glory. We have also been taught that we need to look at the glory of God from two different perspectives. One perspective would be recognizing the glory of God, and the glory that God puts on display of himself. In the Old Testament, he often showed his glory through something that was called the Shekinah, which is a Hebrew word that means the visible dwelling or the settling presence of God. And in the Old Testament, he often displayed his glory through a cloud or a fire. And in the New Testament, it is through his Spirit, the Holy Spirit that dwells within every one of us, and the blessings that we get through that, where God can also show his glory. But we've had a lot of discussion about how God shows his glory. Today we're going to talk about that second perspective, the glory that we need to give God for who he is and what he is and what he has done in all of our lives. And that second perspective is where we're going to go and end the series today. how we can give glory to God. So how do we give glory to God? We give glory to God through our worship of Him. Through our worship of Him. That would probably be one word that would kind of satisfy all the different ways that we give glory to God. Through worship. So what is worship? Well, I go to Webster's dictionary and see what Webster has to say. Webster defines worship as this: to honor or reverence a divine being, a supernatural power, or an object of esteem. To honor or reverence a divine being, supernatural power, or an object of esteem, which leads us to our first fill in the blank in the bulletin, and that would say this. We'll fill in the blank and then I'll give an explanation. Everybody worships something. Everybody worships something, whether they know it or not, regardless of how old they are, male or female, Christian, non-Christian, no matter what religion or whatever faith they may be, trust me, they worship something. Even an atheist will worship something. Anything and everything can be an object of worship. An object of worship can range from anything from the one true God to money, to celebrities, to sports figures, to children, to grandchildren, to automobiles, to clothing, to whatever. I'll let you fill in the blank. You can worship anything, and everything can be an object of a person's worship. But this morning, we're just going to focus on one thing. We're going to focus on worshiping the God that you and I serve. There are examples in the Bible of people worshiping God. There's many of examples. Let me just give you three real quick. In 2 Samuel chapter 12, it's a story of King David. You know that him and Bathsheba, they had this adulterous thing going on, and she was having a child, and that child died shortly after it was born. And in 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 20, it says this, right after the child died, it says that King David went into the temple and he worshiped. Another example would be John chapter 9. In John chapter 9, we read about a blind man, a man who had been born blind, and he was healed by Jesus. And it says later on in that chapter, around verse 38, that this man found Jesus later on, and it says that he kneeled down and he worshiped Jesus. And one last example, Revelation chapter 19, verse 4, it's a vision of heaven. And it says in verse 4 that the 24 elders and four living creatures fell down and worshiped God. And you can go through your Bible. You find many, many examples of where people worship God. You'll find many examples of where people worship something else. But let's get back to the Jesus conversation here with the Samaritan woman here in John chapter 4. And he's going to bring to light a few very good points about worship. Let's go to our second fill in the blank. We'll fill that in and then I'll give an explanation. Only true believers can truly worship God. Only true believers can worship God. Now let me give an explanation for that. Verse 23, Jesus says this, that only true worshipers he says the true worshipers will worship in spirit and in truth. In spirit and in truth. So what does that mean? That we need to worship God in spirit and in truth. For me or for you to worship in spirit, let's talk about spirit first, must mean that I must have the spirit. Because it's my spirit that's within me that's worshiping the Spirit of the Father. So I worship in spirit, the Spirit within me. What about truth? Well, the only way one can receive the Spirit is to know and understand the truth about Jesus Christ. And then they'll be saved. As I've said before, one will never be saved without knowing and understanding the truth of the gospel message. You need to know the truth. The truth leads to having the Spirit, and true believers will worship God in that Spirit and in that truth. Let's just say this. Unbelievers don't have the Spirit, so they cannot worship in spirit and in truth. Our third fill in the blank. I'm going to give you the answer, then allow me to make an explanation. Religion is not always worship. Religion is not always worship. Please let me explain this so you don't get the wrong idea. In John chapter 4, verse 21, Jesus says that the Jews worshipped at the temple in Jerusalem, and the Samaritans worshipped on the mountain. And that would be Mount Gerizim, which is near Sychar, which is where the Samaritan woman was living here at the time. Religion. This format of worship, now again, please allow me to make an explanation. This format of worship, to go to a certain place, has the potential of falling into a dangerous trap called religion. If I was a first century Jew, I would have worshipped God at a prescribed place, Jerusalem, at a prescribed time, the feasts and festivals, and in a prescribed way. I would bring a lamb or some other animal as a sacrifice. If all they did was go through a series of rituals and laws without the transformation of a heart and without faith, then that is not worship. That is religion. You just go through a series of duties and laws and liturgies and rituals. People did it then. People still do it today. Trust me, there are millions and millions and millions of people today who believe that the worship of God can only take place in a church and on a Sunday morning. And I know, because for the first 22 years of my life, that's what I did. And my motto during those 22 years was this: I can do whatever I want throughout the week, just as long as I get myself back into church on a Sunday morning. There was absolutely no heart condition, no transformed life, no faith, just a series of rituals and routines and religion. And as I said, churches of all denominations are filled with those kinds of people today, right now as we speak, on Sunday mornings. Our fourth fill in the blank. True worship begins from within. It begins from within. All true believers should have this yearning to worship and glorify and to praise God. So where does that worship and desire to worship God come from? That yearning comes from the Holy Spirit that's dwelling within us. The Spirit within us wants to commune with the Spirit of the Father. In John chapter 4, verse 24, Jesus takes that a little bit further. As I said a little bit earlier, I said all true believers should have this yearning to worship and glorify God. And Jesus takes it one step further in verse 24, and he says this: God is Spirit, and his worshipers must worship in spirit and in truth. A true believer will have a spirit of worship, will have something inside them that wants to express gratitude and praise and glory and honor and thanks and reverence to the God that has saved them. That's just what we will do. I think there's a lot of parallels back to the parable that Jesus talked about back in Matthew 13, where he talks about the parable of the soils. Some just never grew. Some grew and produced a great crop of 30, 60, 100 fold. But there were those other two in between that grew a little bit and then died out for various different reasons. And those same groups, those two in the middle, are the ones that try to worship or try to do the church thing on Sunday mornings, but it never works because they truly have never been saved from within. They've never had one of those transforming experiences. Let's go to verse number five. Fill in the blank number five. That true yearning to worship God that all believers will have will be expressed in some way by the true believer. They will be expressed in some way by the true believer. Worship can and it will take on many, many different forms. And let's talk about a scenario that I spoke about earlier, about the Jews going to the temple, and let's compare that with people today coming to church. I am convinced that many, if not most of the Jews in the first century, in first century Israel, went to the temple during the feast with their sacrifices because that is just what they were told to do. It was the law. The law prescribed them to do that. They were like robots. What does the law say? I'll do this. I'll go here. I will go at this time. I will bring this. And there was absolutely no transformation of the heart. It was just all a series of rituals and religion, like I said earlier. So let's apply that reasoning to people today. And let me just ask this question to us and churches of people all across America today. Why are we here? Why are we here in this church this morning today? Is it because we're religious? Or maybe for some other really good reasons? Let me give you three other reasons, maybe not always bad. The first one, are we here because it will make so-and-so happy that I'm here because I just come along with them? That so-and-so asked me to be here, so, well, you know, to keep them happy, I just come along on a Sunday morning. You know, that reason isn't really that bad because that's what my wife asked me to do one day. Mike, will you come to church with me just one time? And I know I've told this story before, and I'm going to tell it again real quick. And she'll remember the words. To keep you happy, honey, I will go one time. Well, I guess God had some other plans. But when you invite a person to church, and they're coming along just to make you happy, you just never know what God's going to do with that person. So that reason isn't really that bad of a reason. How about this one? Are we here this morning because church is just a good thing to do on a Sunday morning? It's just what I do. It's Sunday. I wake up, I go to church. I certainly hope that it's not a ritual or to the point where it's a religion thing where it's just where I show up. And I'm going to get back to that one here in a second. How about this one, another reason? Are we here because church is a good place to network and it will help build my business? You probably don't see this much, if at all, in small churches like ours. But trust me, when you get to large churches, I guarantee there's that guy and that woman and that man and that lady who are in that church because they want to build connections with other people to further their business within and networking within the church. To them, it has absolutely nothing to do with God, has nothing to do with fellowship. It has everything to do with what can I get out of these people for me. And if you've ever been part of a big church, I mean, we're talking mega churches, 500, 1,000, a couple thousand people, trust me, you will find that going on. Or how about this reason? Are we here this morning because we want to worship God and give Him the glory as a body of believers? Amen. There's many different reasons why people show up at a church on a Sunday morning, but I hope that's the reason each and every one of us are here this morning. I truly hope and pray that all of us are here because we want to worship God in spirit and in truth, like the early church did in Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 47. We did a long sermon series on this. The five things that they were doing in that early church back in Acts. They were expressing their worship in these five different ways. Through fellowship, through prayer, through the breaking of bread, through learning and teaching the word, and through giving. Did you know that everything that we do in this sanctuary between the hours of 11 o'clock and around 12:30 when we dismiss should be an act of worship? Everything that we do should be an act of worship. So does that mean that worship is limited to what we do as a body of believers in church on a Sunday morning? And is that the only time? Is that the only place we can worship? Well, absolutely not. We could make a list of many different ways that believers can show their worship to God. But let's just sum this up by looking at two different scripture verses. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10 for a second. There's a couple verses there that Paul talks about that I want to bring to light here this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And starting in verse 23 through the rest of that chapter, Paul's talking about the believer's freedom in Christ. And during those verses, there's a concern here about what to eat and what to drink. It's a similar concern that the people had, and Paul addressed that back in the book of Romans, chapter 14. I'm just going to read two verses. The first one I'm going to start off with is verse 23. Again, he's pretty much talking about the believer's freedom in Christ. And he says this, "Everything is permissible, but not everything is beneficial. Everything is permissible, but not everything is constructive." And then he goes on with the next verses to talk about eating and drinking. But he concludes by saying this in verse 31. And this is where we really want to go here this morning. Verse 31. "So whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God." So whatever you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. He's instructing the Corinthian church, which means he's also instructing us, that whatever we do it for the glory of God. Whatever we do. Oh my goodness, whatever we do. And if we're going to equate giving glory to God with worship, then we can express worship for God in whatever we do. Whatever we do. And that, my friends, creates a very, very long list. It says that we should express our worship for God in everything we do. How's that for a challenge? Everything that we do. You fill in the blank with what everything is. Your work, play, study, eating, drinking. And you know everything that you do. Could you imagine that we are instructed that anything and everything that we do can be an act of worship to God. When we arrive at that spiritual realization that everything we do should be an act of worship to God, then there just might be some things that we do a little differently. Amen? If everything that we do has the potential for being an act of worship, then there might be some things that we do a little differently. I know I have a list. One more scripture and we'll end with this. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Just one little verse. Usually people put verses 1 and 2 together. I'm just going to stop at verse 1 because that's the only one I want to read here this morning. Very familiar scripture. Romans 12, verse 1. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Let me just read that one more time because it's so full of God's truth here. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. I'm just going to get sidetracked here just for a second. In Sunday school this morning, Warren, and I hope I don't put him on the spot here, said, you know, sometimes when I'm reading scripture in the morning, I got to read it over and over and over again till it sinks in. I think this is a great example of one of those verses where you just like to read it over and over and over again because we want this a verse like this to really sink into our minds. So the question I challenge all of us with here this morning is this, and this gets back to verse 1 of chapter 12. Has God shown His mercy in your life? I see a lot of heads kind of shaking in this direction. Well, I'll let you decide if and how that has happened. But if you answered yes, and I would probably safely believe that everybody in here would answer that yes, then we are to offer our bodies wholly and completely back to Him as living sacrifices, because that is our spiritual act of worship. So if we were to ask, how do we worship God? It's in everything we do. It doesn't leave out much. In everything we do. We certainly can't leave worship to just something that we do on a Sunday morning in a church, although I like worshiping with fellow believers on a Sunday morning, don't get me wrong. But what happens once we go out those doors? When we go to the restaurant and eat? Or one of my favorite examples, more when we're in the line at Walmart. And as somebody said in Sunday school this morning, just smile at somebody. That could be an act of worship. Anything that makes God look good. And that's not in my notes, but you know what? That's pretty profound. What can we do to make God look good? Gee, I think Jesus summed it up great in His words, as He does all the time. Jesus says this, we need to deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow Him. Well, my friends at Beech Grove, there's the glory of God. The glory He shows us in the things that He's done in our lives and how we respond by giving glory back to Him, and we respond with that glory by giving Him praise and the key word, worship. But let's all do this. If we forget everything else that was said these last 6 weeks, let's all remember to do this. To see God's glory and to be able to give Him the glory the best way possible. Let's open up the box and let him out. Let's go to God in prayer.